kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to continue along our theme of light. You know, I've done several teachings just recently about the light that shines or should be shining in the body of Christ, and that light which is set on a hill is a beacon. It's a light to the world. And the gospel, its preaching and teaching, is that light to the world. But it's also like a lighthouse, a beacon. It's also to warn as well. And that light is also to expose. So we're really going to carry along on those themes. And as usual, I have a title for this teaching, and we're calling this Restoration Brings Light. Restoration Brings Light. And I want to base this from something we know very well in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, and looking at verses 20 and 21 of Acts 3. Because in the context here, it speaks about God restoring in the last days. As Christ comes to restore order back on the earth, he restores righteousness, and we know that we are in the process of this restoration. And we take it up from verse 20, in which it says, "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive, and that till the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So we see that we know the story of the lame man that was healed through Peter and John. The wonderful saying, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And all of this was to get the people's attention so that they could use this in which to call God's people to repentance, reminding them that they had given up their Messiah in place of a murderer, willingly giving him over unto death, but he's calling them to repentance, and he's revealing that Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, and in his name, this man, this lame man, walks. And he's going to come back the same. He doesn't change. And of course, he's now risen, he's in heaven, he has sent the Holy Spirit coming back, revealing his power. And all of this is a build-up to what he says here, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heavens must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So he has gone into the heavens. He's now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding. And these are the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken, and this restoration will take place, and God has spoken this through the mouth of the prophets. So there is a time in which this is to happen. And we now, through the outpouring of the Spirit, as Joel prophesies and speaks of, this is setting in motion now, God restoring. And I've always held to the times of restoration. Many have lost sight of this. But God in his mercy and grace has not let us lose sight that we are in these times of restoration. And of course, the greatest sign of this was Israel becoming a nation. The Yom Kippur War in 1967, and through Trump, God restoring Israel as its capital, its city. So we now see all these are the restoring signs of Jesus coming soon to rule and reign on the earth, to restore righteousness and order back on the earth. And we are all in the process of this happening. And we have seen also how God is restoring his body, his church, a remnant, bringing us back, delivering us, bringing us out of corruption, restoring us back under his ministry, under his headship, empowering us by the Spirit, getting us ready for marriage, for the bridegroom, restoring us. And so these are all the indications of this restoration taking place. But this cannot be done unless God shines his light upon us, because he is the light of the world. And we note also that the Apostle Paul speaks of this, of the times of restoration, which we know in Romans 8. And it tells us, doesn't it, that creation awaits with great expectation the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We know this in Romans 8, 19 to 22. So the creation waits for deliverance. Many out in the world are blinded to the fact that what they are going through, the corruption, the great falling away, the confusion that is found now in the world and in politics is all an indication that deliverance is needed. It's too far gone. It cannot be restored. And this is why we don't believe man. We don't believe our politicians, that if you choose and elect me, we will restore and bring back prosperity and all this business. It's too far gone. And this is why people don't believe anymore. They don't believe the lies. And this is why the Antichrist is going to come through this deception, through this confusion, as the deceiver. But it's still not yet quite the right time for Jesus to return. Because through this falling away and this confusion, he's going to expose the motive and the heart of the people. Who are they really looking for in this confusion? Are they looking to God to restore, who has all the answers, or are they still looking to man and the arm of the flesh? And this is why he will allow the great deceiver to come, the Antichrist. You see, God always exposes the motive of the heart. That is what he does. because he tries to show us that sin lies in the heart, and out of the heart are the issues of life. Our hearts tell us where we stand with God. And some see this, and they will bow the knee to this, and others don't. And again, it takes his light in which to expose this. But nevertheless, the world, creation, is groaning. And those groaning pangs are going to get worse and worse and worse through the falling away. But through all of this, he has got hid an army, a group to himself. And we see it, of course, in Revelation 12. The man-child that is in the womb, and the womb of the woman, and the woman is the church that has stood right through the ages, but she gives birth to a company of believers who have pressed on in faith into maturity and perfection, and they have not resisted the light of God exposing. Because many at the moment, through this exposure, through this groaning of creation, many don't want to read the signs and the times. They run away from the light. But you cannot run away from this light. And we've learnt that. We have seen this light that is exposed in our lives and hearts. We cannot run away from, because there's nowhere to run to. So we stay with it. We stay with the word. We stay with our meetings. And we allow this light to do its work and deliverance. And that is why we get the understanding of Revelation 12, what really that man-child is, because many today are interpreting it wrong. They still say it's Messiah, it's Jesus. It's speaking of when he was born and so forth. Well, if you read it, how can it be? They fled when they knew that Pharaoh was out to try and kill all the children. And you see that this man-child is protected, and then it's snatched, it's caught away, because the dragon's there to try and destroy it. Well, Jesus was not snatched and caught away. He went to the cross and died on our behalf. So they're trying desperately to understand what this man-child, this company is. And there are lots of theories out there today. But it is quite clear. It is a man-child company. It is a preserved remnant who will be snatched and caught away, which is the rapture, which we are now waiting for. We're getting prepared and ready for. That is good news to us. And we know that the Philadelphian church, which is a type of overcomer, man-child, is the church that is commended in the eyes of God. And it says very clearly to that church, I will preserve and protect you from judgment that will come upon the whole world. Judgment up until now has never come upon the whole world. It has been nations or Israel that has been judged. What we are going to see is upon the whole world. And that is the difference. And this is why the light of God has to teach us now in these last days. He's going to highlight, he's going to shine his light upon the word of God, his word, so that we are taught by revelation. We are fully experiencing, aren't we, that flesh and blood cannot teach us this. This can only come by our great teacher, Jesus himself, who has come back to us through the Holy Spirit, empowering us to teach us now in these last days. And how is he doing this? By restoring back Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Through these ministries, it's maturing, perfecting us, equipping us in these last days for our ministry. That is supernatural. Man cannot do that. It's not man appointed, it's God anointed. And that is the difference. And what does it take? It has to take his light. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Restoration Brings Light. Restoration can only happen by the light and power of God in these last days, shining in this darkness, because we were once in darkness, but we have now experienced his light shining into our lives. And these passages, which I've been talking about, clearly show at a time of restoration of all things that it's coming, and it will occur in close connection with the return of Christ and the coming of his kingdom. And the empowerment of this is to be implemented. And we all know this because we know that this has started through Joel's prophecy. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know it, and your old men shall dream dreams. So we are experiencing that now through the outpouring of the Spirit. And this occurs just before the great and terrible day of the Lord, which I've just spoken of, when judgment will fall upon the whole world. And we also know in the book of Revelation that during that time, the two witnesses will come, in which they will restore Israel and get her ready for her Messiah through the great tribulation. So Israel, God's ancient people, their restoration is going to start in bringing them to Messiah through their purging. When the Antichrist makes war against Israel, when they find that they have been deceived, when they made a peace treaty with this false leader, and then he will reveal himself who he really is. And these two witnesses that will come during that time will warn Israel of their big mistake that they have made, thinking that that was their Messiah. And he's not. He's a counterfeit. What is all that taking place? What is that revealing? It's revealing the light of God is now beginning to shine on his ancient people. And that light is going to open their eyes, and that they will see that they have been deceived. But that will be the means of their repentance, the bowing of the knee, asking God for forgiveness. We have believed in the wrong person. Their eyes will be open to see that Messiah did come for them. But they rejected his kingdom. And they gave him over to be crucified. That's what their eyes will be open to. And that will bring great repentance and remorse upon Israel, upon their souls. And then Antichrist will turn on them and try to destroy them. They're going through another purging again. Do you think Hitler tried? Yes, he tried. He tried to destroy all Jews. And sadly, history is going to repeat itself again. But God will preserve a remnant unto himself, as he always does. The same as he has preserved a remnant in his body at this present time. And you and I, in his mercy and grace, are part of that remnant who will not bow our knees down to denominationalism, to the Holy Father, to the corruption that is in the organized church. We won't bow our knee down to that and worship that. Why? Because the light of God has shone in our hearts. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing in this time of restoration, brothers and sisters. And so with our maturing through the word, through the empowerment of his spirit, through the fivefold ministry being restored at this time, that light is shining in the world. And God again is shining through his church, his body. And you are part of that light. And not only is it a light, but it is also a beacon. It is also warning as well as what is coming. But you see, that light which is shining, we first begin to see what it exposes. And I want to just go over to show you what God's light has been doing. We're not always aware of it, but we're just going to remind ourselves of what this light has actually been doing. You see, this light exposes first the sin and corruption that is in Christ's body. And that light has been shining and exposing in those who call themselves Christians, in order that we had deliverance. And that deliverance was getting us out of those places. That's why it says in the word, wherefore come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. That light was beginning to show us that where we were fellowshipping, what we were sitting under, actually was corrupt. That is what it started to do through us. And we began to see this through the word of God. The word of God began to speak to us and show us that you cannot fellowship in this place. You cannot fellowship with these people because they don't want to deal with sin, corruption. They're hiding from the light. So there's the mercy of God, what he started to do with us through this light. And then we had to go through this purification where God showed us that he was going to purge and purify the sons of Levi, that priesthood unto himself. And so this purging, this purification began to work discernment in us, discerning the true light against the false light. Because we've learnt, haven't we, that the lack of light in the body of Christ not only hinders its relationship with God, but also its discernment, because little light is shining. And so these were things that God was speaking to us and showing us. This has all been our journey. You see, a lot of our deliverance and maturity is seeing sin and corruption. And even the corruption in our own lives, and not turning away from it, running away from it like so many have done. And that's why God has been working with our separation from the world, and especially from those ungodly family ties that can so hinder this light shining in us. It's all about the light of God, our journey, our experience. It's all about the fact that we've not run away from it. We've allowed that light to expose, to do its work of healing and deliverance in our lives. And that's why that light shines through his word. And that's why we have such a love and affection for the word of God, and a love not to change it, to alter it, to water it down, which so many do in Christendom. It's so easy to preach the word to our life and our circumstances, us and those sinful lives, to continue to live in the world and in sin. You can turn the word of God to that. But there's no light that is attached to that. God isn't going to shine his light on that unless he has mercy. And he does. And that's why he will expose, because he's not going to have his word corrupted like this. His word is a light to the world. The same as when Jesus came, he was a light to the world. He is God's light. Remember, we spoke that on Tuesday, I think, in Genesis 1. Let there be light. And he divided the light and the dark, night and day. There it is, right at creation. And it's the very light that we need today that shines on his word, that shines in us to deliver and heal us and restore us and bring us back. Why? Because I've already read it to you in Acts. It's in the times now of restoration. He's restoring all things. He's bringing back order out of chaos. Because the world has lost its way. And we know it. And so he's starting with us. He's starting with his house. Because he said, judgment begins first in the house of God. And before he judges the world, he's going to deal with us first. He's going to get his house in order. And praise him, that's what he's doing with us, the remnant. And so we're beginning to see his light is shining, and it starts to bring about, doesn't it, prayer back into his house. Proper prayer, prayers of faith, prayers that will be answered. And that's why he's been working with us, getting us to believe in his word and in his promises. Our believing in God's word has been our deliverance, our change. But we cannot believe in this word unless God shines his light on it. That's what enables us to see in order to believe. This is why Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer, because prayer brings light. Prayer reveals darkness that is in the world. And that's why he's getting us to pray now like he is, because our prayers bring light into darkness that the enemy is trying to work with. But we also know that this light has been working relationship and trust with him and each other, because this can only work when it is a relationship, when it is trust. Knowing that your Father loves you and that he is faithful and he will not let you down. So that light has been working in that, has it not? And this is why it's so often the work of the Holy Spirit doing this. The work of the Spirit has been separating. For what purpose? For this end time army. We are being trained to war against the powers and principalities and dominions that we are seeing working in these last days. Warfare is not carnal, it is spiritual. And for it to be spiritual, you have to be trained to be able to discern else you don't know how to war. And so again, that takes God's light in order to expose the enemy. Do you know that his light is exposing what the powers of darkness are trying to do? This is why we hold it back until the church is taken out of the way. And that is the mercy of God. I believe that God's holding this back at present from fully taking over for the very purpose that the man-child can come to its full maturity and development. I believe the man-child Revelation 12 is very instrumental in holding back the powers of darkness so that God gets his body. The bride makes herself ready. You can't make yourself ready if you are hindered all the time by the powers of darkness, if you are confused or you don't know what's happening. You can't make yourself ready in situations like that. Are we beginning to see now, brothers and sisters, the bigger plan of God? What he's doing and how he doesn't get this wrong and how he has preserved his remnant, his true body in these last days. And he's training us through these conditions, these godless conditions in which to be effective in warfare. This is how he always does it. Because the spiritual warfare exposes the powers of darkness. And this brings me now to the main point of what I want to bring out in this sermon today. You see, we shouldn't be surprised what we hear and see with regard to the great falling away that is taking place now. And why do I say that? Because God is restoring his body for this very purpose, that faith and prayers of the saints are exposing the corruption that is in the world. Our prayers, our intercessions are exposing the corruption. Why does God want to expose the corruption? Because that takes his light. Because there's still a remnant to be saved. There is still a harvest out there. And that is why we pray for the laborers. There's a harvest out there, and that is why our prayers, our intercessions, our warfare are effective so that the last Gentile can be saved. And then God will turn to his ancient people, Israel. That is another reason why our prayers must be effective for these last days. And it takes God's light in order for this to be achieved. We've seen very clearly, haven't we, that Christ does nothing outside his body. The same as the restoring of Israel. We move with him and he moves with us. So whatever God does, he does with his body, his remnant. He doesn't do it through just an individual. This is why we are knit together in the body of Christ. Some are arms and ears and eyes and legs and so forth. And he does nothing outside of that. Everything is done in harmony and unity and oneness. Everything is done with witness. And where does this all come? From the light of his spirit, so that we all see. No one is left out in the body of Christ. We are all one. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level for us all. Yes, that includes me as well. That is why in ministry, we are the least. You are far, far more important, even than my ministry and what God is doing through you. I simply bring you to God's word so that you see this for yourself, that you experience the light that is in you. My ministry is simply a confirmation of what God is saying to you and confirming to you. That's really what teaching and ministering is about. It is firstly confirmation, because God says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If God can't do that in you, then my ministry will never do it. That is the Holy Spirit's work. That is the light of God's Spirit working in your life, your heart, and you simply have ministries like me that is confirming what God is doing. We need that confirming because we're still in the flesh. And God knows our weaknesses. And he knows how the devil tries to work. So that's what this is about, brothers and sisters. And I stress this because that is our fellowship in his body. Nobody is trying to lord it over another, which you get in denominations. And that is why you've got that ecclesiastical ministry. You've got that difference between clergy and laity. There's no such thing in the scriptures. The early Christians didn't have this clergy and laity thing. The ministries didn't robe up with their priestly vestures and mitre on their heads. That is religious pride. No. They all looked the same and acted the same and worshipped the same, even though they had the apostles and prophets amongst them. Even the apostles said, I'm the least of all of you. He didn't go around pontificating. Not at all. This is the corrupt church. This is the harlot church that is spoken of in Revelation 17. You have been delivered from all of that. And what did that? The light of God shining in your hearts and my hearts. I know all about this, brothers and sisters, because I came out of that corruption. I was a chorister. I was an altar boy. I used to have to deal with communion, with mass. I did all of that. I had to robe up and everything. And it was the mercy and grace of God that got me out of that corruption. And that's why I can preach and I can say it as it is. And I know some of you also came out of that harlotry as well. But how did it happen? God shone his light on us so that we could see. And this is why God does nothing outside his body. Even though we're meeting online today, this is still his body. And he's still speaking to us and guiding us. This is what I marvel, how God works. Because in the natural, this shouldn't work. Where we're all spread around. Some of us thousands of miles away, but that's nothing to the Holy Spirit. And that's the miracle of this. Why? Because this is the light of God shining. Well, as I bring this to a close, let's look at some scriptures to remind ourselves, which we don't look at very often, but this is all about restoration, restoring, and so on. And let's turn first to the book of Malachi. These are the minor prophets, but they don't say an awful lot, but what they do say is very powerful and very much shows us the times that we're living in and how God is restoring. So let's look first at Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Malachi chapter 3, 16 to 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. There you are. That's being fulfilled, brothers and sisters. And look at the end of it. Look at the discernment that God's giving. Then you shall discern between righteousness and wickedness. How is that achieved? By the light of God shining and not running away from that light. So there we are, this one promise. Let's turn to chapter 4 of Malachi. It's interesting, but the Hebrew name for Malachi means my messenger. A messenger that goes beforehand. Now look here in chapter 4, verses 2 to 5 of Malachi. And he says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. That's what he's doing with us. We are so blessed. We're flourishing with what he's doing with us. And he says, you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. And then he goes on and so on. He says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, for the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So there we are, one of the witnesses that will come. What's this all under? The time of restoration, the time of the great day of God and his wrath upon the whole earth. These minor prophets are filled with comfort. They really are. How about the book of Obadiah? That's a short little book, just before Jonah, the book of Jonah. And Obadiah, it means worshipper of Yahweh. That's what it means. And Obadiah was used to come against the descendants of Edom, which was Jacob and Esau. Do you remember Jacob and Esau? How they fought and strived with each other. Well, this was what was going on in Israel. Brothers were falling out with each other, striving, fighting, just like it can go on in the house of God. And this little prophet was called in which to deal with this. And what do we see in verse 21? And it says, then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And who are these saviors with a small s in plural? You, the overcomers, will come with the great savior to bring back order upon the world, to judge. And he says, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So this kingdom is to be visibly be returned to the Lord, where he's going to rule and reign from there for 1,000 years, and you with him as well. So you come back as a type of savior as well, to heal, restore. And what is he doing? He's restoring his light upon the world. So the times of restoration now is beginning to be understood, isn't it, prophetically. We're beginning to understand now this light that is shining. Because we cannot understand. We cannot even understand his word unless his light shines upon it. We cannot discern true spiritual warfare and prayers and intercessions unless his light shines on it. And one of the main works of the Holy Spirit is to reveal light so that we can see. And I'm reminded of what the word of God says, that without a vision, my people perish. So how do you get a vision? You get a vision by light shining upon it, showing the way. It's like a road map. And what does this do? Just like a road, you work out your journey, you see the roads that you need to go to, the direction and everything. Well, it's exactly the same. His light is showing, is unfolding his divine plan for the last days. That's what it's unfolding. So that he begins to show you the way he's leading you and guiding you, both individually and corporately as a body. All of this is vital for restoration, and only light can do this. But the ultimate work, which we must never, ever forget, brothers and sisters, this light is ultimately for relationship. It is God restoring us back in love, unity and oneness with him. He wants us to know him, because it's in that knowing that trust and respect comes. That is ultimately the work that God is doing in raising up his sons now in these last days. Children cannot do this. They cannot fulfill this. Babes can't do this. You're not babes anymore. You are growing. You are maturing. And he's bringing us to that place where we can stand with him and each other in that perfect, unbroken relationship. That is the work he's doing, brothers and sisters. So there we are. I wanted to round this off with these last few teachings that I've been giving, that light is so, so important, because it's enabling us to be able to see the work of restoration and what is being brought forth now in these last days. And you know, as I was preparing this, I realized something that we can miss. One doesn't have to strive at any of this. I can't achieve this. There's no way I can work this or bring this about. This can only be the work of the Holy Spirit. And we realize that this is actually what is happening to us. This is becoming our experience. It's not just something that we are just talking about or we're seeing in the scriptures. I'm actually moving into this, both physically and spiritually. This is happening to me. That is what's so exciting about all of this. This brings the reality of what he's doing now in restoring in these last days. We can actually say, I am experiencing this. This is my life. This is what is happening to me. And rightly so, because that's the power of his light shining. But it shines through us first, and then it shines into the world for the purpose to expose corruption. And that is what's happening now. We are seeing so much. This is why it seems so much seems to come to the fore, that sometimes you just feel, I can't handle anymore. And God knows how much we can handle, because it just seems as though you don't have to look for it. It's everywhere. But what it does show us is how busy the devil's been over centuries. But it tells me something, that our God is even greater. And he is going to put this all down under his feet. What a great and mighty and awesome God we serve. That he has this all under complete and utter control. And there are times when you just have no more words left to the greatness of our God. And how he does this by his light. Let there be light. And there was light. And he divided that light from the day to the night. And that was the first day of his creation.
Let him in constancy fall.